brain, you're in the Nerd's Domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Nerd's Domain podcast. I'm Matt, and I'm here with Shirley.
Hello.
And Jesse.
Hi.
And oh my gosh, I thought we lost him.
Yeah, I was a little worried.
I'm screwing up so the mic can pick me up because I'm so soft-spoken.
Yeah, I don't know why you didn't start up here. So, this week we're going to be talking about role-playing games and storytelling. I have posited the question to Jesse and Shirley, and I have not posited it well, so I'll reposit the question in a better way.
Are you saying posed?
Posited. When you posit a question.
Are you positive?
Is that real? Because I don't think that's real.
Okay, so let's try this again.
When you pose a question...
I'm going to ask you guys a few questions, okay?
Oh my god.
We're going to discuss role-playing games. Specifically, we're going to start with a little bit of your background in role-playing, and mine as well. What games you played, how long you played them, what you liked about them. But we're going to do a little, we're going to stay kind of brief on that. But then we're going to go into when looking for the next role-playing game. What is it about that game that draws you in story-wise? Does that all make sense?
Yes.
Jesse, does that help narrow it? Does that help narrow it down?
Yes.
All right, so Shirley, we'll start with you. How long have you been role-playing?
Well, the thing is, I've been thinking about this, and, you know...
Oh, Lord, it's going to be a long answer. Go ahead.
Anyway, no, so when me and my sister and brother were really little, we used to write up...
Right, used to put Vaseline on the couch and hide behind it so the aliens couldn't get you?
Yes, what? That was one thing that we did. No,
I haven't done that before.
See? That just lends to, we were role-playing. The aliens were going to get us. We knew it.
It's not role-playing when you truly believe it.
What?
Then it's psychosis.
I don't know. I don't know if we believed it.
Explain the story to Jesse and our listeners.
Okay, so, it was in the way, way back, 1981. Good night. We had just moved to Indianapolis, and the house that we bought... just needed remodeling. Like, it was really old, so we had to tear it. Anyway, my mom and dad, we were remodeling the front room. My mom and dad had to run to the hardware store. And, you know, back in those days, you just left your kids at home because you knew that they were going to be...
Well, you were also 11. I'm fine with leaving my 11-year-old home.
Yeah. So, anyway, I am there with my 6-year-old brother and my however old she was sister, the middle child. And my dad lets us watch, you know, sci-fi stuff, Twilight Zone and stuff like that. So we came up with the story that the aliens were attacking. And there was this 150-year-old sofa or something. Like, it was a really old sofa and antique. And to protect us, we had to rub Vaseline on it to enact this force field that would protect us from the aliens. Needless to say, the sofa did not survive the Vaseline, and I believe we were so traumatized by the event that none of us can remember what happened after my father got home. So there was that. But yeah, so, and that's just one of the shenanigans that happened while I was a child, but... We loved to make up stories, and my sister would always write these really, well, we thought they were amazing scripts at the time, and we would put up, you know, the sheet curtain, and then we'd put on plays for my mom and dad all the time.
So
that's when mine started.
in a more formalized setting, though,
The first LARP that I went to was Wheeler Mission back.
So you started with LARPing. So that was the game where we met.
Well, it was way before you and I met, but
it was
yeah.
Like 6 months.
No, I think it was
maybe a year.
Maybe a year.
Okay. All right. So, and since then, what have you been playing? So you LARPed. Ooh. That was a Vampire the Requiem game.
Yes, Vampire the Requiem LARP.
What have you been playing since then?
Vampire the Masquerade. Whatever we're playing up at the lodge.
What's Vampire the Masquerade?
Okay, Vampire the Masquerade. RPGs at the table? Is that considered?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So Cthulhu. And I don't know, what else have we got?
Dungeons and Dragons, maybe?
Oh, Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
Well, see, I don't like, for me, sitting at a table, it doesn't like, I know I'm acting out a character, but I'm doing it sitting at a table.
Okay.
So, wow, that means, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, Shadowrun, Cthulhu, what else?
We played a couple of games that Johnny wanted to run.
NASCRAG. Oh, my God. That was so
That was
amazing.
Kind of a version of D&D.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit
fun.
More about that in a little bit, I'm sure. Jesse.
How did I get into it?
Yeah.
Well, my mom was one of those kind that said that role-playing games was bad. That being said, she didn't say it as hardcore as some people do. But my first time I was actually introduced to it was in sixth grade. The last class of the year, the teacher told us that we'd have the entire class to do whatever we wanted to do, but we had to stay in the class to do it. A transfer student who didn't talk a lot brought in a copy of Tunnels and Trolls.
Okay.
And we spent the entire, I think it was 6 hours, building characters and never actually got to play the game. But still, that was enough to hook me in. And like I said, my mom, she gave me nightmares at one point because there was a garage sale and they sold these little metal figures that were used in Dungeons and Dragons at the time. And I bought them and she said that that's going to take my soul. So I had to keep the toys in another room because I was afraid I was going to wake up at night and have them literally coming in and trying to steal my soul. Like a literal thing. But they were still fun.
Wow.
But they were still fun to play with. So I'd play with them in the daylight. You just keep them somewhere else at night.
At night, yeah.
All right. So what do you...
Metal box in the lake.
Yeah. What have you played since then?
Since then, I have Tunnels and Trolls, which I absolutely love. It's a great game system. You can find it. It's one of the few that have a play-by-yourself rule system.
Okay.
Dungeons and Dragons. I've done 2nd edition up to 4th edition. Haven't had a chance at 5th yet. Hackmaster is one of my favorite systems in the world. It is a comedic look on 2nd edition, so you still have like the Thaco, which isn't as bad as people make it out to sound.
It's terrible.
And things like that. But then they spoof it to the point of 2nd edition was known for having a lot of charts. So the critical hit chart is 10 pages and it's a D million. To find out what bone fragment you hit.
Yeah.
And it just does stuff like that. So I always cut that part out. But it's a great system.
No, I believe Hackmaster is also the system that gardeners are very high level.
Yeah.
Because when you mow the yard, every blade of grass you mow is technically a kill, and you get 1 XP.
What?
Yeah.
It can be taken that away, yes.
That's pretty long.
The character creation on is the best, though. But... I've played that. I've played some Vampires the Masquerade. I'm not as into it as some people are. I've LARPed, but not what people would call traditional LARPing. I've done the Society for Creative Anachronism and things like that, but I've never actually...
That's historical reenactment.
I'm still playing...
It's historical reenactment.
You're pretending to be a character.
Yep.
This is not us... dogging on the SCA.
No, I love the SCA.
This is us calling a spade a spade.
Yeah.
If you're telling yourself you're another person and then pretending to be that person with
and
other
researching
people,
that person.
Yeah, it's a role-playing game.
All right.
Nothing
it
against
is.
That.
No.
I didn't get to the SCA because I didn't want to go to fighter practice, and that I was told that was the only way I could go.
I didn't
like the people at fighter practice.
Our Shire was very heavy weapons-centric.
So was ours.
And I thought I would like that until it took me an hour to get into armor, an hour to get out of armor, and I fought for like 10 minutes. It's just not worth it.
What kind of armor did you have, Jesse?
Oh, I had like a full metal armor. I had a tower shield.
Yeah, we actually had a blacksmith in our barony, so he helped us make the padded armor and then the plate mail, but we made it with Kevlar.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, it was amazing. I was making this really awesome.
Wow. Yeah, Shirley still got her shield.
Yeah.
Cool.
And her helmet.
Yep, my helm. Helm.
Helmet.
Yeah, I've done a little thing called Cthulhu once in a while.
You played a lot of stuff. Though.
I have.
I mean, you've,
I really
very, you've been experimental with what you've done, right?
Yeah, I've very played a lot of one kind of one-shotty kind of games where they only really last a little bit to try out new systems and things. But to be honest, the thing I really like about the games is the characters you play. It's not the system for the most part.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's kind of why I don't like Dungeons & Dragons anymore. And I haven't played 5th edition, but 4th edition...
5th edition, puts that back in. 4th edition didn't have a mechanic to do it, but if you had a good GM...
Maybe I just didn't have a good GM.
Yeah, Matt. That's possible. Now, whatever. You weren't ever in my game for 4th edition.
Oh, I was. But yours wasn't the bad one. Anyway, though.
It wasn't the bad one.
Okay. So you played a little bit at what?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what is the game that I played where I was Pumpkin Jack?
Gamma World.
Oh,
the 4th edition version of Gamma World.
Yeah.
I've played Gamma World, and Gamma World has a great character creation system. That's what I really like is the characters. That's what I think most about the character creation. And it's like that, it's Hackmaster, it's...
My first D&D game, my first role-playing game was with you, Jesse. Where you got murdered in the first game we played.
Oh, is that when I was the wizard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turned a corner, there was a goblin, it just went badly.
Did it eat your face?
But I played with that group. I played with some rendition of that group for 6 years.
Yeah.
We lost a couple of them. One passed away, one moved away. And then we grabbed new people. And then these were my friends in high school that we hung out with. There was a group of them that were far more into it than I was, like the giant nerds they were. And played during lunch, where you got maybe 10 minutes of actual game in.
Hey, that's 10 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't enough. I got annoyed.
The Cool Whip crew?
What?
The Cool Whip crew?
No. No, this is a different group altogether. You'll never meet any of them except Jesse. There's a reason. No, they weren't that bad. They were just way into it, and I didn't want to spend that time during lunch. I'd rather do it after when I had 4 or 5 hours to actually dedicate to it. We played once a week for 6 years. I mean, it was for a while. During that time, I also played a game called Traveler, which is terrible. The system for it is not great.
Oh, you don't like Traveler? That's one of the games I wanted to play.
Character creation is horrendous because it's all randomized on rolls.
Oh.
So my character creation was done in 2 minutes. The other guy, his character creation took 45 minutes because he kept rolling well. And it made it a very uneven party for what we were trying to do. What else have I played that's been noteworthy? I've LARPed. I do like a good LARP here and there. I've run a lot of stuff, I guess is really what it comes down to. Yeah, I've run a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so what, okay, so, Jesse, you said characters pull you into the game, but what about the characters? Is it the personal story?
It's the creation of something new, I think. Because I like character creation a lot. And games that give me more access to that, the more I like. Which is weird, because I don't like running games, which is, you technically get to create all the characters.
but they don't have that same personality.
Yeah.
The same.
There's no way for character growth or anything.
Right. So, are you sure? So it is just something new? Because you've played a lot of what most of us consider strange characters.
Yeah. What do you mean by... No, they're perfectly normal.
No. They're really not. And maybe it's because you're strange and you see it as...
I would characterize them as strange. I would characterize them as eccentric.
That's what I said, strange.
Mental.
Yes, also strange.
Some...
Look at Botticello.
He wasn't strange.
Botticello was perfectly fine.
Yeah, the thing is, his reasonings were sound reasonings for his perception of reality.
Okay.
So I... Yeah.
And Frank...
And isn't that Frank Botticello?
No, Frank was his criminal that we met in Egypt after Botticello died.
He had to make some money or he's going to starve. I totally understand where Frank was coming from. Frank, I understand more than Botticello.
Jesse also plays paladins that, you know, break the law.
Hey, I detected evil, so I killed evil.
And you have also, what else
Hold
did
on,
you do?
Aren't paladins religious?
Yeah.
Thou shalt not kill, dude.
Yeah, no, that's not how paladins work. No. And then you always tried to backstab the party.
Oh, I used to. I've gotten past that point.
But so what was that? What was that all about for you, though?
I don't know. I think it was like an extra challenge. It's like, yeah, because you got to plan for other things. You can understand one person, but when you're playing against everybody...
This is why I think Jesse would really enjoy a vampire LARP.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like, you are playing, you're not playing against a story. You're playing against the people
everybody
at the table.
Else. We could do tabletop Requiem or Masquerade.
It's a little harder to run.
Is it?
Because you need people for people to interact with. It's a little harder to run in that aspect. Usually when you play like a tabletop vampire game, you're all in a coterie to begin with.
Yeah.
So there's a level of trust and working togetherness to begin with. But a LARP allows for such a larger group that one person can team up with one or two or not team up at all. Or have alliances that are built around one specific thing.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And I think I might like it, but talking about stories about role-playing, my first interaction with Vampires the Masquerade was not a good one. It was with people who take games way seriouser than I ever wanted to.
Yeah.
And I don't think I liked the experience, and I've placed it upon the game.
I see. So the characters, does the individual, do you like an individual story for you? Is that what you're looking for? Or
no.
Do you like off of what everybody else is doing?
I like working around everybody else. I like, just, like I said, kind of coming up with something new and sometimes bizarre. But that's why I like role-playing games better than I like, RPGs on computers and stuff like that, because you're stuck within the confines of a story. Whereas with an RPG, you can kind of throw wrenches in the system, react to other people's wrenches.
Well, that's why you like stuff like Fallout, that's a little more open world.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Shirley, what about you? What is it exactly? So Jesse said that it was the characters. What is it exactly that draws you in?
I'm not necessarily sure. I think it's a, but several things.
Murdering things is number one.
Yes. But it's the challenge of overcoming a greater evil than yourself.
With violence.
With, you know,
with murdery
swords
violence.
And things that I can fight with. Right now, because of our Cthulhu game, it's guns. Anywho, but it's also the thought of being a hero.
Okay.
You know, I get to go in there and be a hero and conquer a certain inevitable doom that is, you know, with Cthulhu, the inevitable doom that's going to consume the earth or whatever. And I get to take part in, you know, saving humanity. that's what for the Cthulhu game. Go ahead, Jesse.
So that does make a lot of sense. I haven't seen you in Vampires, but in D&D and Cthulhu, you do tend to play the least shady of characters.
I will tell you, in Vampires, she's a lot more brutal. Honestly, I don't.
The last character that I just played, I literally had to dig into a different side of me and, you know, base it off of some of the movies that I watched, because I feel like I can't be that quote-unquote dirty. We were like incestuous vampires, basically.
Well, we could talk about that one briefly. But that was another game where what draws me into, hey, we're gonna play a game, and I'm like, okay, well, I've got some questions,
And I don't ever ask the right questions, and I really should. I need to get to the point where I know how to advocate for myself what I want out of a game that I'm playing in. But what I want is interaction from other people, and I want a personalized story. And I'm not saying everything has to be about me, but I need that story to make sense to my character.
To your character, yeah.
And I want to be a unique little flower while still interacting with everybody else,
right,
and have something I can do with that. So I really feel like when we played in the CAM, well, the CAM is an organization, it's now called Mind's Eye Theater, that ran LARPs, that runs LARPs all over, and they interact with each other. It's a world-based storytelling game, storytelling game based on Vampire, either The Masquerade or
Requiem,
depending, and other games as well. But when we were playing that, I felt like I got to tell my own story in a lot of ways, but
mm-hmm.
it never came to fruition. With, I'm sorry, I'm still
it's okay.
More to say. With the game we just ended, it was a Vampire the Masquerade game where we were playing Anarch, so there was this hope and despair dichotomy. And even with that character, with every character I build, even in Vampire, where those characters are bad, Schlotsky was bad. He was a murderer.
Caitlin didn't see him that way, but...
But you get what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Like,
morally, he did things that were wrong, but he
right.
did them for the right reason. Alistair
he's just
did things wrong, but both of them had aspects of themselves that were morally uncompromising. And I feel like that's the grasp, especially in Vampire, where you're supposed to grasp to humanity in some way.
Mm-hmm.
That was their grasp to that humanity. Alistair wouldn't tell a lie. If he said, I'm going to do this, he kept his word, period. Unless something else kept him from doing it, he was going to do it.
Right.
And it was an aspect that I didn't get to play through much, whatever. Schlotsky was very, very, very loyal. Loyal to the point that when things split and things went badly, it was a very rough time for me as a player, because I had put a lot of that in-game into the out-of-game interactions we had had as well. So, you know, it was just one of those things. But when I'm looking for a game, I want... It can be anything. It can be D&D. It can be Shadowrun. It can be a myriad of role-playing games. If I'm going to sit down at a table and I'm going to tell a story, I want to be part of the story. I don't want to just be fed story. We played Johnny's D&D game for forever, and I know I took the spotlight a lot. And I did that on purpose because...
Nobody else would.
Like, nobody else would, but because I wanted to play the most bombastic character I've ever bombasted out of a bombast cannon. And Thinrath was nothing but bombastic. I mean, it became Thinrath and his merry band or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was said as a joke, but in character, he would have thought of all the rest of the group as his supporting cast.
Yeah.
And he did things like challenge nobles because he had the right to, and he didn't care. And he did, but at the same time, his turnaround was if his friends were in trouble, he'd do whatever he could to save them or to help them. And it fit well with the way I was playing the character. He was also very reckless. But I always look for an aspect of myself that I want to emphasize, or an aspect of a personality trait that I want to emphasize. Alistair was charismatic and a troll, and I wanted to play a charismatic troll. I wanted to poke at people until it pissed them off,
yeah,
and then bring them over onto my side, break them down, and bring them over onto my side, my way of thinking. And it worked. Actually, it worked really well.
Yeah.
Schlotsky was just full of anger and furious anger, and I used that a lot because
mm-hmm.
I was full of anger when I started playing that character as a person. So I've always looked for an aspect of what I'm doing and put that into the character. I don't know, Jesse, do you do that much?
Occasionally, yeah.
So you don't get that deep into it?
I try to, but like you said, for the longest time when I was younger, I tend to take more joy in killing other people's characters. And I really, looking back, I have no idea why I did that. I mean, it was very... wrong?
I mean, technically you did try and kill Jason's character in Masks.
Well, he needed to die.
When I make a character specifically to kill one type of character, and one character becomes that type of character, I kind of have to. I really tried hard not to. If it was the old me, I'd done it a long time ago.
It wasn't like he became that character and he apologized. He was like, you know what, I really shouldn't have done that, but it was the wrong choice in the wrong moment.
Yeah.
But he was like, so?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, dude, show some remorse. No.
But yeah, surely, nowadays I really try to get into the character that I create. And I tried, like Shirley said, I make sometimes odd characters, but it's because I want to be able to get into those shoes.
Okay.
And try them out. And then I try to stick to the character concept as hard as I can.
Okay. Shirley, what about you? Do you get deep into the character like that?
It's not... I mean, sometimes I do. The LARP that we have been at lately, like, because of the environment, it breaks character a lot. Mm-hmm. So you can't, like, just dive into it and then get all mired into the character, so you kind of have to break out of it every now and again, which for me it takes a while to walk down that long stairway to totally be enveloped into a character. But something that you said earlier made me realize that it's the adventure of quote unquote, you know, when you read a book, you're going somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Imaginatively, you're going somewhere else. And that's what it is about role playing. It's like, oh great, I get to go to another place in a different time, and I get to experience these things that, you know, Shirley wouldn't experience. So with that being said, lately when I've been creating characters, I've been creating them to push my comfort zone and my boundaries to experience and be things that there is no way on God's green earth that as a human being I would ever,
These last two vampires were sexual in a very open way.
Right.
Which is not something you are typically comfortable with.
You just don't want to talk about it,
don't want to think about it.
Right. Caitlin, being with the Lancia Sanctum, she found it very safe because it was religious in a way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, vampires, quote unquote, are, you know, sexual by nature, but she found hope and love, and that was her clinging to that part of humanity.
Okay.
And Catherine, she was just like, her clinging to humanity was just all about sex, you know. Okay.
So I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you typically feel bad when a character dies?
When one of my characters dies, or when I kill somebody else?
When a character you play dies.
It depends. So I played Thinhrath. We've talked about him. I played Krag at the same time. Essentially, Krag was the same character.
Yeah.
Except that Krag
was crazy.
Krag didn't understand mortality. He was a Warforged. Which is essentially, for our listeners at home who are not familiar with that, a Warforged is a race in D&D that was created. They're golems. They're living golems. So the concept of death doesn't make sense to them. He didn't think he could die. He could just be repaired. He's a robot.
Mm-hmm.
Robots can just be repaired. It's not a big deal. So no matter what the situation was, he was coming back from it. So he was crazy. So when he did die, the only reason I as a player was frustrated was because we were put into it in a very unfair situation in a tournament-like setting that made no sense for the character, and it was just the guy running it that was setting us up to fail because he wanted to set us up to fail. He wanted to take the kids' gloves off, and he told us that when he sat down or after we got done. But that character died saving everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the character back. So, I mean, which only reinforces in my mind that Krag was right all along. He couldn't die. He just gets repaired. But he literally held off the ghosts or whatever they were, mm-hmm, while everyone else escaped. So what are you going to do in that situation? I
did not answer it. Were you upset when...
I was upset not because the character died, but because the way that the character died did not make sense to the narrative. I'm trying to think who I've lost to death.
Ethan was put into torpor once.
Yeah, Ethan was put into torpor, so I wasn't allowed to play the character for like 6 months.
Caitlin was more upset about that.
I was very angry about that because the whole situation was turned wrong. But that was that was politics in game that made that happen. I'm trying to think of a character that died. I don't lose characters.
Oh wow, that must be nice.
Yeah.
I also don't go punch fish, Jesse. I don't make a melee character in a game that is exceptionally deadly.
I think for me, the thought, there was at one point in time during the cam game that it was a possibility that I would lose Caitlin. And Matt's like, you know, we should think about making other characters, blah, blah, blah. And literally, like, I felt like I was going to have an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
Like, my stomach hurt, my chest tightened up, and I was like, what? You know, Caitlin's going to die because I feel like that hope for love, like, that's just...
Yeah.
I made her too close to, you know, some of the same things that I believe in real life, and that felt like, oh, if she dies, then that part of me might die.
Yeah, and I guess I do put a lot more character. I put a lot more of myself into LARPing.
Yeah.
And that's why those are rough. My first LARP character died. I forgot all about that. And it upset me mostly because, again, the situation was dictated to me by storytellers, and it was very heavy-handed and screwed me over pretty bad for no reason, no real reason. But there was a character that I played... that was a joke of a character and survived, should have only survived one game or two, especially when I revealed what I could do. Essentially, the character could blow up whatever he wanted because the storyteller didn't care, and instead of the other characters becoming concerned about that, they thought they'd use me to blow up more things, which was perfectly fine with me. But that one I left giant, gaping weaknesses, like just like one, I was able to be one shot killed if you just took a little bit of time to think about how to do it. And when they finally decided they were going to take me and kill me, which was like 4 months into playing him, it really was okay. So we're going to do this, and I was like, guys, I can't do anything. I can't even throw in that LARP system. You throw paper, rock, scissors, they call them chops. I couldn't even throw chops because I was such a... I had made the character in such a way that he was unable to defend against something like that. So they pulled my soul out and I died.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Yeah.
But when it happened, it was... they were like, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm like, okay, guys, you win. They're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I really literally cannot defend against that. But hey, good call. Like, that's the way you go for it. Thanks. And I went and made a new character. Actually, I had another character on hand ready. But that was a character I knew was going to die. If I make a character like Schlotsky was a survivor, I would do anything to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Almost anything. Alistair, I wasn't going to mire myself into things that were going to destroy me. I'm a vampire. Mm-hmm. You don't put yourself in dangerous situations. You have people for that. Like... Yeah, D&D, you don't lose characters typically.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the game. It was a Cthulhu game, and it's been within the last few years that we played. And maybe it was Eva at one point, or somebody, but, like, literally, like, I was crying by the end of the game.
Yeah, that was
like,
the night
the
that... That was the night that Scott lost his character and you left the group. Because Scott's character had been murdered and it was your fault.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was it. And
I was going to say...
And I guess it was, like, the guilt of the death of another character,
yeah,
but yeah.
George's first side quest was really emotionally impactful for me. And I didn't even lose the character. I mean, I...
Almost.
So that one was a bad one. Does that answer your question, Jesse?
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, the very first real D&D game I played was with a group of people much older than I was, far more experienced, and we spent like 3 days building this wizard. If I remember correctly, I rolled bad and had like 2 hit points.
Yeah.
And we'd come upon a group of drow, and I was the only one who spoke the language, so they all expected me to talk to them and patch things through. And I basically said the equivalent of, come at me. And I died. This is like flat out, like the first 2 minutes of the first real game I ever played.
Aww.
And after that, I really haven't put a lot of emotional stuff into my character.
Yeah, after but your no. first emotional character, you kind of just step away from that.
It's like you said, with Botticello, we can talk about Masking of Thotep on this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
I built him to die. I fully knew he was not going to survive. He lasted longer than I thought he would. I just really wanted him to go out kind of heroically and to do certain things. And he had done certain things by the time he died, so I felt like his character growth had come to a completion. And it was kind of at that point of, if I didn't die there, I was going to die soon anyway, because I was going to try to take someone else out.
Yeah, which you may not have died from.
Yeah. Frank, in the same situation, I kind of felt like he didn't have his story completed before he died. And it's those kind of deaths that slightly bother me more than a character I put more into dying.
Yeah.
So you feel like as long as your character comes to full fruition, that they could die and it really wouldn't matter?
Well, I guess with role-playing, it's the same thing as with movies. I am real big into character growth. And once a character has grown to the point of, I think he's done what he set out to do, his story is complete, he might as well die to survive.
Right. Right.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I can see that point of view. I like the adventure way too much, and it wouldn't matter if I got to the precipice of, you know, growing. I would rather, you know, continue on with the adventure than
Well, I would
not.
Too, but as long as I, the player, gets to continue the story while telling a different story and completing a different arc, it's kind of the same to me.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, because I want to switch on to the next kind of motion in these questions in this episode, and kind of wrap it up. If today you were approached by someone who is going to tell you a story, first, who would you want running your game? Who would you want in the game? This doesn't have to be specific people. It can be archetypes of people or the kind of people you look for. What kind of game would you want to play? And that could be the system or the storytelling type. And, you know, like, let's set that up individually for each one of you, or both of you, and then myself as well. So anybody that can run a story for you whatsoever, anybody at all, who would you want running your table? Jesse. I can give you guys some more time to think about this if you want to.
I like things that are kind of done off the cuff, and I would like my perfect game would be ran by an improver. Just off the top of my head, the only ones I can really think of is Whose Lines Is It Anyway, people, because I've been watching it a lot lately.
Oh, yeah.
And a game ran by someone like Wayne Brady would be great.
Yep.
And
what's the tall guy's name? Can't think of it.
Ryan, maybe?
Yeah.
It's been a while. Okay. But yeah, and then, as you said, with the people who I'd like to play with, it would be with people like them also. Just go in with nothing planned. We all say, well, let's just play a game. It's 5 minutes later, we're in the game.
Okay. So would you want to play a fantasy game, a sci-fi game? Does it matter?
Doesn't really matter. I'm not really big on sci-fi, because sci-fi takes a lot of setup in my book to get it done right.
Well, I mean, but if you're like, if you sat down at a table and they're like, okay, we're going to play Star Wars.
Yes. I could get into Star Wars just as easily as I could Dungeons & Dragons or Cthulhu or...
Okay. Shirley, what do you think?
Gosh, there's so many things to choose from. I mean, it would just depend on what mood I'm in, really. No. That's kind of a cop-out. The only thing that's coming to mind right now, and I have no idea why, because it wouldn't really be my first go-to choice, is that if you took every character in Firefly and mashed them together into one person, that would be the person that I would want to run it.
So Joss Whedon?
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm being serious.
Yeah, that kind of
okay,
makes sense.
Joss Whedon. And then I would, I mean, I literally would want to play something like Firefly.
Okay.
Like the RPG. Like.
Who would you be playing with?
I don't know. You're like saying don't pick specific
people. No, you can. No, I said you don't have to. Yeah. You can pick specific people like.
I pick specific people.
The cast of Firefly.
So you want to play a game of Firefly with the cast of Firefly, with the writer of Firefly. You want to play some Firefly.
Yeah.
But it's all valid answers.
If you played with the whole cast, what character would you play?
That's a good question.
Well, let's say you played after Serenity. They need a preacher and a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So you could play either one of those.
Yeah.
It could be like the season 4 replacement.
Yeah. I don't want to replace Wash, though. So. I'm going to start crying.
Just come up with a good storyline reason of why he comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got put into a regenerator.
Cloning.
Duh. Cloning. Oh, cloning. Hey, there you go. I have no idea why, like, that is so... I would definitely want to play something sci-fi.
Okay.
Star Wars would not be my first go-to. It would have to be something kind of witty and fun and campy like Firefly. So, I mean, even Star Trek, I'm thinking, and I love Star Trek, I don't think I would want to play something so serious.
Yeah. For me, I have a couple of thoughts. I would either want to play something post-apocalyptic with, like, a really good writer, like Stephen King running the game. Where he can set up a good environment. Yeah, it's all going to be aliens in the end.
I was going to say, there'd be so much focus on the scenery.
But even then, but then that still brings me in.
True.
That pulls me deep into the story. And then I would want to play with people that I knew would bring a full character thought process to the game. I want people, and this sounds really weird, but I want people like Jim Carrey who... method or who stay in character the whole time like he did for Man on the Moon. Like, he was Kaufman the whole time he was on set, to the point that it became a problem. Like, people were really pissed about him doing it. So I would want that. I would want the kind of person that would be involved and deeply involved in the game. The other option is if I was going to play something super political, like Vampire, that can be super political, I would want Aaron Sorkin doing the writing. I would want him doing the storytelling and the writing with me, and then I would want a cast, and we're talking like this would be full on LARP, so I would want a big cast of like 150 people, and I would want those actors who could bring that gravitas. Like, we've been watching a lot of West Wing, and this is probably why I'm thinking all of this, but I would want like Jimmy Smits as that senator. I would want that kind of thing. Alan Alda.
Yes.
You know, your older actors who have that weight behind them, not Gene Hackman, what's the other guy's name? He was in Secondhand Lions.
No idea.
Gene.
I can see both of them.
Yeah, Michael something. He was also Alfred in Batman. God bless.
Michael Caine.
And the other guy, what both of them, those are the kinds of people that when they step out... they hold a presence. People like Christopher Lee or Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart. Like, I want old people. I want a bunch of old. I want people.
You
want
to play with a bunch of old
people. I kind of do. But I want people that when they walk out onto the stage or into the game, they hold a presence about them that I would have to push back against during my interactions and feel like I was fighting not just them mentally, but their charisma. If I'm
like,
going to play
for
a full
your spot.
On,
like for, you're
for a full
fighting
on vampire.
For your
yeah.
spot.
Yeah. Like, if I walked into a vampire game and you have Patrick Stewart sitting as the prince of the city,
whoa,
it wouldn't be immediately me thinking, yeah, he needs to die. It would be me thinking, I either need to be with him or find the faction against him and work with them because I can't do this by myself. I want that kind of web of danger surrounding a real political
yeah.
vampire game. All right. Well, those are my thoughts. But Aaron Sorkin would totally be running that game. He would run the crap out of that game.
I think that would be amazing.
See, you got me thinking, a vampire game that's highly political with a bunch of people who are actually politicians.
Yeah.
Maybe Donald Trump running it.
Oh,
no.
We could get Kevin Spacey to come in.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That would be amazing.
Whew.
Kevin Spacey. Yeah.
All right. So.
Oh, you're thinking House of Cards.
Yeah.
Every time I think of Kevin Spacey, my favorite Kevin Spacey, I mean, I love Pay It Forward, and I'm sorry, this isn't off the topic.
Get to it.
But is Negotiator.
I think he's really
love him in that movie.
I think he's really phenomenal in K-Pax.
Oh, and I liked K-Pax too. That's not my favorite.
Which is not the thing you watch right before House of Cards.
No. Negotiator, you know. Well, Negotiator maybe, but yeah. So.
All right. So, any other thoughts? Any other things that you want to say about games? Are there any game systems that you would suggest to people that help? In any specific aspect of storytelling, something that brings you into the world, something that, I don't know.
I think, for some reason, I keep coming back to Gamma World, and maybe because it felt, like, really cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, even the character creation helped to, like, even D&D and Cthulhu character creation it feels very methodical.
Yeah.
But when you're creating your character for Gamma World, it feels like you're becoming, you know, creating part of the story.
Okay.
Because when you create your characters for Cthulhu and D&D, you really don't know the story yet. You're an adventure getting ready to find out what the story is. And Gamma World, you're creating this cartoony character that is starting to create the story.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Jesse, what about you? Any games you want to point to that?
Yeah, I would suggest to anybody that has a hard time getting their players to roleplay, try to find an older copy of Hackmaster. Because the character creation, when you select flaws, they're random, and they really force you to play the character you get. Because you can get some pretty strange flaws, and it will force the staunchest of munchkins to actually roleplay.
Okay. The only thing I would say is that if you haven't checked out 5th Edition D&D and RPGs are something you like, and storytelling is the part that you like about it, 5th Edition might be something you want to check out. The background and character creation for that is a little more robust than it has ever been for D&D. I'm actually pretty impressed with it. 3rd Edition didn't have anything like this, and we still all felt like it was a more role-playing heavy game than 4th. So this one does add quite a bit to it, and I would highly suggest it, especially now that there's new books with new backgrounds out, so those are worth checking out. So, all right. Well, I think that'll actually kind of talk our topic out. We hit good strides there.
Yeah.
So, you guys, thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you next week.